That's the closing music from a CD called Vandana, Journey Together, referring to Together. Bassist Bill Kohler, who is a professor at Illinois State University School of Music, and tabla player Manpreet Bedi. Crux, the name of that composition, which is their own, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Good afternoon, I'm Kevin Kelly. That really has nothing whatsoever to do with today's program, simply a recording we recently received from one of many, many, many local performers in so many different genres, and I had spoken with both of those gentlemen within the last year or two, and I hope one of these days to have them in our studio and before they do some performance in our area or another, and thought we would just start with a little Indian fusion music. My first segment has to do with the opening show for Parkland Theater at Parkland College in Champaign. It's the comedy drama Steel Magnolias by Robert Harling and opens next Thursday, the 27th of September, continues through the 7th of October with Thursday through Saturday performances at 7:30 and matinee on Sunday the 7th. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The director of the show is Amy Stock. She is along with four of the actors. We're still hoping the fifth will materialize, but hasn't happened so far. In any event, I've been to many Parkland shows, as I'm sure many of our listeners have, and I've always found them to be almost uniformly outstanding. I mean, there's always something that happens with every community theater show. And even though it's affiliated with Parkland College, it really is community theater because there's always students involved, many of whom are acting majors, but there's also community people involved, and I'm guessing, but I don't know. Amy, does the present cast represent that sort of mix?
Yes, definitely. We have four very good actresses from the community theater scene, and we have two of our theater students in the play as well.
Now, when you say our theater students, does that mean are you now at Parkland?
I teach at Parkland, yes. I am an instructor there, and I teach film and theater classes, as well as doing some recruiting for the theater department and directing the show.
Because the last I knew, you were at St. Thomas More High School.
Yes, I was there for 2.5 years as the drama director there while my son was attending.
There's a relationship because he was attending? Or?
Well, the reason I left St. Thomas More is basically because he graduated, and then we have a very good English teacher to take over, Missy Marquardt, and she took over the drama department. I've been at Parkland College for about 5 years now. Mm.
And did you choose the play?
No. No, that was chosen by the play selection committee.
But they chose you.
Yes, they did. And I'm very happy about that.
Did you, I mean, I know how it works for Champaign-Urbana Theater Company since I've often been involved in their shows and the directors tend to apply knowing what the season is going to be. Is that what happened with you all?
No, the play selection committee chose the plays for the season and then I believe just discussed who they thought would be the best fit as director from our faculty and I got chosen for Steel Magnolias. So.
And why are you particularly glad about it?
I love this play. I love this play. It's funny. It's warm. It's dramatic in spots. It's a true ensemble piece, which I like to do as a director, especially. I love working with the closeness and the friendships that these ladies form during the play, and not only as the actresses, but as the characters themselves. So when something is this tightly knit and deals with real life situations, that's what I love to do the most. So combining some of the drama of everyday life with some very funny moments in comedy.
Hence, they call it a comedy drama. Mm-hmm. I've never seen the play in its entirety. I saw a scene once, and I hope I'm not mixing up my memorial tribute concerts, but I believe several women did it when lots of friends came together and paid tribute to Kathy Murphy. The late Kathy Murphy,
most
who was
likely
involved in the CU Theater Company. And mm-hmm. I think, I hope it wasn't another one that happened in the same place. It was at Centennial High School. And I remember being struck by both the humor and the drama, drama of it, and that particular scene, incredibly moving as well, and sort of heart-wrenching with obvious, with some of what the women were going through. So why don't, for those who don't know the show and for those who have seen just parts of it like I have done, give us an overview of what's it about, what goes on.
Well, basically, it's about six women who meet every Saturday at Truvy's Beauty Salon and have their hair done. And as we all know, what happens in a true beauty salon, more gossip and talking and friendship happens than actual hair getting done. scene one, we start with Malin's daughter, Shelby, is getting married. And she's in getting her hair done, and everyone's all excited. And Annelle comes in as the new girl. A brand new girl, and everybody's excited about Shelby's wedding, and Shelby is a diabetic. So with all the excitement going on, she has forgotten to keep up with her blood sugar levels and has a diabetic episode within the first scene, and that's where we first see that she how sick she really is. Then scene two, we find out she gets married, she comes back, she visits, she's going to have a baby. Scene three, I don't want to give too much away.
Well, I was going to say, you want to be cautious how far you go with it.
Yeah, it's basically, it lives the lives of these six women in this important time. And what we really do find out through Shelby's illness is the strength of not only a mother-daughter relationship, but the strength of each individual woman, hence the title Steel Magnolias. They are feminine and beautiful on the outside, but inside they are made of steel because they have to deal with this awful disease that takes its toll on everyone who is involved with it. And especially if you're a friend or you love Shelby or you love Malin, as all these other women do who come into the shop, it affects all of them. And what happens in the play, and I'm not going to give it away, but what does happen is they discover the strength of their friendship and the strength of themselves.
And I know you brought along a couple or three, I don't remember how many, short scenes that we're going to get a flavor of what this is like, because I always find it difficult to talk about a play and then really get much of a strong idea of what goes on, because so much of it is in, of course, the language of the playwright. Mm-hmm. So we have with us Amy, I know, is going to take a role, even though you're not acting in it.
I am not acting in it, so this will be off the cuff.
And we have also Diane Pritchard, Susan Sheehan, Carrie Keating, and Kenname Rice. This is from Robert Harling's play Steel Magnolias, which will open Parkland Theater's new season next Saturday, September 27th. This is live on Live and Local.
Now, Shelby, fill me in on the reception.
Well, there's going to be ferns and twinkly lights, and there'll be a magnolias in the pool.
I just hope your father doesn't get any magnolias from Weezer's side of the tree. We'll never hear the end of it.
And the wedding cake will be by the pool. The groom's cake will be hidden in the carport.
Shelby and I agree on one thing.
Ugh, the groom's cake. It's awful. It's in the shape of a giant armadillo.
An armadillo?
Well, Jackson wanted a cake in the shape of an armadillo. He has an aunt that makes them.
It's unusual.
It's repulsive. It has gray icing. I can't even think how you would make gray icing.
Worse, the cake part is red velvet cake, blood red. People are going to be hacking into this animal that looks like it's bleeding to death.
The rehearsal supper was an experience.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. It was out at Jackson's uncle's place on the river.
They served steak and baked potatoes. They went to a lot of trouble.
His family loves to barbecue.
For dessert, they served an original creation called Dago Pie. I think that says it all. Jackson's from a good old Southern family with good old Southern values. You either shoot it, stuff it, or marry it.
They are simply outdoorsy, that's all.
Did you all do anything especially romantic?
We drove down to Frenchman's Point and went parking.
Shelby, really?
Oh, boy, the romantic part. This is what really melts my butter.
Well, then we went skinny dipping and did things that frightened the fish.
Shelby.
It's been a long time since we've had a youngster in this place, hasn't it?
Oh, we talked and talked and talked.
I love those kind of talks. In the arms of the man you love.
Well, actually, we fought most of the time.
What?
Well, because I told him I couldn't marry him.
Did what? Why would you go and do a thing like that?
No, it's okay now. We worked it all out.
Oh, it was just one of those last-minute jitter things.
No, but the wedding's still on.
Thank goodness, because this hairdo is going to be in the Hairdo Hall of Fame.
You scared us, Shelby. That wasn't a nice thing to do to your mama. You should never say something like that to a woman who's marinating 50 pounds of crab claws.
Ooh, making up can be extremely romantic. I'm jealous. I miss romance so much.
Oh, Truvy, it can't be that bad.
The last romantic thing my husband did was in 1972. He enclosed this carport so I could support him. Very nice, Annelle. I think you know what you're doing.
Thank you. Miss Eatonton, you have great hair. And your scalp's as clean as a whistle.
I try.
Must run in the family. Shelby, you have such pretty hair. So thick. Hold your head up, darling.
Stop it.
Shelby. Shelby. Malin.
Oh, honey.
I'll get some juice.
Truvy, there's some candy in my purse.
I got a peppermint right here.
Shelby, we're getting you some juice.
Should I get her a cookie?
Here's a juice.
Shelby, you need some juice.
Leave me alone.
Drink, honey. Drink some juice.
Drink the juice, honey.
No.
Who can blame her? Juice after a peppermint?
Mama, stop it. I have candy in my purse.
You didn't bring your purse, honey. Here, have a sip.
No.
Oh, it's not any wonder, with all this wedding nonsense and running around.
Excuse me, should I call the doctor or something?
No, no.
Shelby's a diabetic.
She's got a little too much insulin, that's all. She'll be fine if we can get something in her. Drink some more, Shelby.
I'm going to leave if you don't leave me alone.
Oh, I'd love to see you try. Shelby, cooperate. Drink.
Honey, drink, please.
There we go. That's a start.
That one hit her quick.
Yes. She's on the pill now, and her hormones are running wild. She'll get on an even keel pretty soon.
She could hurt herself. Malin, what if this happened when she was driving a car?
Perhaps that explains why I have so much gray hair. Oh, but you've known Shelby as long as I have. You know I have to let her be strong. She doesn't seem to be down too deep.
Talk to her, Shelby.
No.
That's good enough.
She's been so upset lately. She and Jackson have been going round and round. Dr. Michaud told her at her last appointment that children are not possible. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world to sit there and watch a child's heart break.
Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
The hair. She's making some sense. This one wasn't bad at all, but I think we should have a little more juice.
Can I do something? Should I get a cold rag?
No, she'll be fine in just a minute. She probably won't remember anything. Don't fuss over her. Normality is very important to Shelby.
I'm sorry to hear about the children part, Malin.
Oh, I know. She feels that Jackson might be throwing away his chance for children. They've discussed it, and he seems to have taken it all right. Shelby's the one that's pushing the issue. Well, he's crazy about her, and
He said, shut up, don't be stupid. There's plenty of kids out there that need good homes. We'll adopt 10 of them. We'll buy them if we have to.
Jackson sounds like good people to me.
Well, I knew right then and there that if he was dumb enough to spend the rest of his life with me, then I'm dumb enough to marry him. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry, Mama. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Is that the opening scene or pretty close
to it?
That
is part of the opening scene, yes. The opening scene is a lot of exposition about the wedding and the preparations and getting the hair done. And then all of a sudden, this episode comes on Shelby, as it does so rapidly with diabetics. And it kind of brings the realization of her illness into the joy of the situation.
And it's when is this supposed to, or presumed to be, taking place?
This takes place in 1987.
1987, Whoa. So the reference to 1972, what was that about?
I love the 80s.
Are you just learning this?
I think so. I think I always knew it because I love glitter, but costuming has been really fun.
This is Kenna Mae Rice there. It was...
She's a wannabe child of the 80s.
Oh, yes, she is.
Yeah, playing the role of Annelle. I love the names here. And where in the South is this?
Chincapin Parish in Louisiana, but it's a fictional parish. Actually, it's kind of closer to Natchitoches, which is the real hometown of, I think, Robert Harling, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what he said?
The playwright. And and we're hearing a couple of scenes here from Steel Magnolias, which is the opening production of the new Parkland Theater season at Parkland College in Champaign starts next Thursday, a week from today, September the 27th, runs through October the 7th. And just hearing a couple of live snippets here. Next scene, what's required to set us up here?
Well, the next scene we chose just because it's fun to talk, to show some of the lightheartedness of stuff and the stuff that goes on between these ladies. So this next scene happens in Act 2, Scene 1. And they're just talking about certain things and teasing Weezer here about her boyfriend. And
that's another wonderful name, Weezer.
Weezer Boudreaux.
Weezer.
Is that, I always wondered, is that supposed to be short for something?
I
Louise
would assume
or
Louise.
Something?
Louise, yeah.
Which
Weezer.
Is my middle name, so that's
oh,
great.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Diane Louise Pritchard. I have to try to remember that.
Ready?
And while I have everyone's attention, this morning I went to my mailbox and found that someone has put me on the mailing list for the Riverview Baptist Church. Lucky me, I am now receiving chain letters for Christ.
They aren't chain letters. They're part of my prayer group's Reach Out and Touch project. We're each supposed to write to somebody in the community that we thought might be in spiritual trouble and invite them to worship. I guess you made everybody's list.
I think it is in the worst possible taste to pray for perfect strangers.
Reach out to Weezer and you'll pull back a bloody stump. Hey, Shelby, I just realized you've saved me a phone call. Next Friday, Sis Aurel and I are driving up to Monroe, and we'd like to take you and Jackson out to dinner, if we may.
Oh, I can't Friday night. I'm sorry. What's the occasion?
This is going to sound a little silly, but we're coming up to go to the Little Theater. We have tickets to a play.
I didn't know you went to see anything that didn't have a goal post at either end.
Well, up to now I haven't, but Sis and I decided at Bridge one day that we needed to keep up. We wanted to expose ourselves to a little more culture, and that's not easy to come by in this neck of the woods.
Exactly what are you exposing yourself to?
Oh, I don't know, something. The last thing we saw there was pretty good. It was Shakespeare. I was a little apprehensive at first, but you know what? When you get right down to it, he writes pretty straightforward stuff. Well, I have to admit, when they hide behind curtains and put little masks over their faces to fool people, well, that kind of got silly. But Sis fell for it. I didn't.
Sis O'Rell is so dumb. She thinks Sherlock Holmes is a subdivision.
Anyway, Sis and I like it so much, we're planning a theater trip to New York.
New York? Oh, Clary, I'm green with envy. Promise me you'll go to the first floor of Bloomingdale's and come back and tell me everything. Woman's Day says it's impossible to walk through there and not get made up.
We're just talking. I'm scared to death of getting on a plane.
It's a piece of cake. You're safer flying than you are in a car. Just sit in the rear. That's the best place to survive the crash.
Miss Weezer, why don't you go to Monroe with Miss Clary?
I am not exposing myself to anything.
Yeah, you should broaden your horizons.
You broaden your horizons your way. I'll broaden my horizons mine. I have plans next Friday. I'm going to Shreveport to have my colors done.
You what?
I'm going to get my colors done. I'm going to find out if I'm a summer or spring or fall or winter. It's a present for Owen.
What are you talking about?
Every person has a particular color in summer, spring, so on. You determine what season you are, then you know what colors look best on you. Then you're given samples of the colors that are in your palette. It's most helpful when you shop for clothes. It gives you fashion courage.
Well, that is the stupidest thing I have ever heard of.
It's all the rage.
A lot of my friends in Monroe have had it done.
There's a quiz on that very topic in the family circle right over there. I am the epitome of winter.
Why don't you have it done, Shelby? You're so fashion conscious.
Oh, no, I'm scared to. I might find out that pink is not in my palette, and I'm not sure I could live with that.
I have heard it all. Well, I'm going to theater. I am going to support the arts in our area.
I'll write a check. I will support art. I just don't want to see it.
It wouldn't hair-lip you, you know.
Let's get one thing straight. I don't see plays because I can nap at home for free. I don't see movies because they're all trash and full of naked people. And I don't read books because if they're any good, they'll be made into a miniseries.
I'm surprised you and Daddy don't get along any better than you do, Miss Weezer. How are things with Owen? I try to check up on you, but I haven't been able to lately.
They're all right. I enjoy his company, on occasion.
I can report that the Sherwood Florist delivery truck stops by her house at least twice a week.
Oh!
He knows I like fresh flowers.
And I can report that a strange car is parked in her garage at least once a week.
Oh, Miss Weezer! My secret's out. I'm having an affair with a Mercedes Benz.
Weezer, forgive me. I have been dying to ask this. Are you and Owen... You know.
No, oh, wait. I have to get a mental picture of this.
Clary!
A dirty mind is a terrible thing to waste. Not that it's any of anyone's business, but no. We are friends. He would like more. I'm dealing with that. But I'm old and set in my ways.
You are playing hard to get.
At her age, she should be playing beat the clock. She's just like her old dog. Both have trouble with their new tricks.
No talking trash in my shop.
I can't help it if men find me desirable.
And there you have it. Yeah, I do remember some of those aspects of... I think I just slipped into that same sort of accent. I'm going to just...
It's easy to do.
We're all talking like this at home now.
Thanks to Joanna McClay.
Sure, yes. You are.
Came in and gave dialect coach for us, yes. Yeah.
We are talking about the upcoming production of Steel Magnolias. It's going to be at Parkland Theater. It opens a week from tonight. at 7:30. Parkland College in Champaign runs through the 7th of October with a matinee. For complete information on all the times, how to get tickets, and so on, you go to their website. It's parkland.edu/theater. And we had with us director Amy Stock, who filled in the two scenes respectively for Jesse DeBold as Shelby, and then as Deb Richardson as Clary. And we also had Carrie Keating as Malin, Kenna Mae Rice as Annelle, Susan Sheehan as Truvy, Diane Pritchard as Weezer, and also Carrie filling in that scene for Jesse as Shelby. There you have it. And so most of the cast with us, thank you very much for coming in. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Live and Local is made possible with support from the Homestead Corporation of Champaign-Urbana, providing affordable housing for low-income individuals and families in Champaign County. Homestead Corporation is a member of Community Shares of Illinois, a choice for payroll donations at work on the web at cs-il.org. We just heard some music by Johannes Brahms, really beautiful adaptation of one of his songs called Lerchengesang. And the voice you heard at the beginning was pianist Avadhajan Pratt. He is then joined by cellist Zul Bailey. This is from a recent CD, came out last year, of works for cello and piano by Johannes Brahms. Has both of the sonatas on and a bunch of shorter pieces. And I am just hearing it with you for the first time here. Avadhajan Pratt is my guest in this portion of Live and Local. He is going to be returning home, as it were, for a recital on Saturday at 7:30 to benefit the Pratt Music Foundation, which he and his family organized in memory of his father. Very pleased to have Avadhajan Pratt with us on the show. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Are you currently in Cincinnati where you're teaching?
I am in Cincinnati. We had a rough transition this year. We went from quarters to semesters, so we had a short summer, and I've already had a couple trips playing and so forth, but home teaching right now.
And so you're coming home to Bloomington Normal. Home became normal when you were, 9 years old, something like that?
No, when I was three. We moved
3 years
when
old.
I was three, yeah. So I was there from three until I was 16 when I came to U of I.
And which, of course, is where University of Illinois is, University of Illinois. And you launched this marvelous plan to have potentially three careers as a pianist, violinist, and conductor, and went on to the Peabody Conservatory doing the same thing. And
right.
I think when I talked with you last, which was probably 12, 13 years ago, it wasn't all that long after you had won the Naumburg International Piano Competition and got an Avery Fisher Career Grant.
Right.
And, of course, you've done all kinds of things since then. But I wondered what those two things did for your career, and also how much you've done with the other two aspects of your three-part diplomas.
My studies. Yeah. Well, the Naumburg absolutely launched my career without question. I was, just a student up until the day before I won, and thereafter I had concerts and the beginnings of a career. The Avery Fisher Prize certainly, or career grant certainly helped, justify or solidify or something, that I had been doing in those 2 years, some good work at the beginning of my career, and it's a great name to have attached to one's name, those grants and the Naumburg Prize. As far as the other activities, I play some violin, some chamber music from time to time. you know, somewhere where I'm buried and nobody can really hear me. And as far as conducting, I do, you know, I do kind of conduct regularly, if not a lot. There's a string orchestra that I conduct here at school in Cincinnati. And then, you know, I have the occasional guest conducting invitation. I've got one in Seattle this year with the Northwest Sinfonietta, which is really excellent chamber orchestra, doing a kind of a mostly Mozart program, Mozart 39th Symphony and Mozart 23 from the keyboard. And then the regular music director of that orchestra is writing a piece that I'll conduct to open the program.
That's fantastic. Do most of your conducting engagements involve piano playing as well?
Yeah, I would. I think all of them have involved playing some kind of a concerto, whether it's Beethoven or Mozart.
And you're now
other various sundry things.
Right. And of was it about 2004 you started then at the College Conservatory at University of Cincinnati?
Yeah, I started here in the fall of 2004. It's been, I guess, the beginning of the eighth year now, I guess. It's been great. It's, you know, I've had some wonderful students come through who were already prize winners of major competitions, who went on to win a couple more while they were here, and then, you know, sort of you have the whole range from bachelor's to artist diploma and master's and doctorate level. And so, but I've got a studio that I'm quite happy with at the moment, actually.
I note that in your biographical sketch, the reference made to doing a lot of teaching and outreach activities whenever you perform various places.
Right.
And I wonder if teaching is something that you discovered that you happen to enjoy more than maybe you thought you might, or was that always a career aspiration you expected to realize?
It's interesting for me because my parents were professors, so I had a high opinion of the profession growing up, and it's always something that I was interested in. And when I was in school, particularly at Peabody, I did some teaching even of my peers when their teachers were out of town, and I really enjoyed it. And when my career started, it's one of those things that I thought would have happened before it did. You know, I moved to New Mexico, and I did some you know, occasional coaching there at the University of New Mexico, but nothing had ever come up. And when this opportunity came up, I certainly leapt at it. So I absolutely have, like I say, it's something I thought I would have started doing sooner, and I've been enjoying it since I've been doing it.
Just as a complete aside, do you still play tennis? I noticed that that was a major focus,
yeah,
at least in the high school.
Yeah, I still play tennis. It's over the years, it's gone in and out of focus, but, you know, the last 5 years or so, I've played pretty regularly, especially in the summer. I don't really have, you know, during the school year and the traveling concert season, which happens mostly during the school year, it's difficult I don't join a tennis club and play indoors, but through the summer, I play pretty consistently.
I'm just kind of curious because I started playing about 6 years ago, and so it figures, in my life too, one way or another. Often
that's cool. Yeah, once you get the bug, it's hard. It doesn't really go away easily.
However much frustration or pain it may cause at times.
Right, exactly. That too.
In your, want to hear some of your solo playing? Since, of course, we opened up with your partnership with Zool Bailey, with whom you, I gather, perform quite regularly.
Yeah, we've played a lot over the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years. And this debut, that record sort of marked the, I think it was the 10th anniversary of our first season playing together. And also we had met each other at a summer music camp in upstate New York in 1986. And it was like 25 years, I think, after that. So it was kind of a marker for us and, of course, our debut album together.
Wow, that's a long collaboration, and
yeah.
Which means
we met each other
successful
over the ping pong table, actually, when we were at the summer camp. So
another kind of tennis.
Another kind of tennis.
Well, I noted that Brahms seems to have figured a lot in the recordings you have made, and I gather in your concert performances, as well as the music of Bach.
Yeah,
which I wanted to play a bit of. Why those two guys?
Well, I mean, it sort of started for me, I think, with the three Bs. I have a Beethoven album as well. Brahms, I think, you know, Yeah, he's. I've played. Let's see. The Brahms Handel Variations recorded, Opus 117. Obviously, his Brahms disc. Seems like there's something else that I can't remember. But at any rate, the Ballades, Opus 10. Brahms is a composer that, you know, studied Bach quite a bit. Studied obviously Beethoven a lot. But for him, I find there's this enormous tension between the Romantic period and the Classical period, so that his form and architectural, structural aspects have a great deal of integrity and tension, and there's even more tension because of this volume of expression that he's trying to get out. It's sort of pushing at the edges, pushing at the frame of that architecture, and there's always... there's great beauty in it, and especially in the ways that the resolution of that tension happens within the structure, and it's always fascinating. I mean, just every piece of Brahms, every movement has these moments where you're like, oh yeah, this is the spot where the form and this expressive volume. It's always have this. There's so much sort of pent-up passion in Brahms, and this is the place where it comes out. And you can always find that kind of crystal spot. So that's, you know, something that I enjoy. Bach, you know, I was coaching some of the violin and harpsichord sonatas the other day, and there's this what feels like an infinite variety. You know, the moment somebody's saying, well, it's very contrapuntal, you're like, no, it's not. You know, it's like, oh, it's very lyrical. No, it's not. And there's so much dimension to his music, and that in many ways seems like it should be kind of simple. And then, you know, you have a six-voice Ritrakare, and which is obviously not, but there's a lot of simplicity within that. And there's just sheer genius and volume and quantity and quality of output that is always engaging.
Well, let's hear one of his, at least on the surface, simpler pieces, I guess, not necessarily easy. Yeah. This is from your CD called Live from South Africa from the late 90s, and a prelude on Ich Ruf zu dir, I call to you, I guess, is what that means.
Yeah, the Lord, more or less. Yeah.
And it's Awadajan Pratt, my guest on Live and Local, performing. And he will be playing in recital, a benefit concert for the Pratt Music Foundation Saturday night at 7:30 on the Illinois Wesleyan University campus in Bloomington. It's the prelude on Ich Ruf zu dir, I Call to You, Lord, by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by Awadajan Pratt here on Live and Local. That was recorded in Cape Town, South Africa in 1995. Mr. Pratt, my guest here on Live and Local, in advance of his recital Saturday night in Bloomington. What's going to be on that program, by the way?
Kind of an interesting program. I start with the Schubert Impromptu number one, from Opus 90 in C minor, and go from that directly into the Liszt Sonata. That's the first half. The second half is kind of interesting. I've done a kind of old school program back to something that maybe Schumann did, things like this. So there are two sets of basically four encore pieces, encore type pieces, or short pieces. And in between each one, I do a little bit of an improvisation, sometimes more of one, sometimes less of one, depending. So I think that has the Couperin, Mysterious Barricades. There's a wonderful transcription of Alkan, of the Beethoven, the Cavatina from the Opus 130 Quartet. Then there's a Marcello transcription of the Solo of the Oboe Concerto done by Earl Wilde. And then Gluck, the melody from Orfeo, transcribed by Sgambati. The second set has a Chopin Nocturne, The Rustle of Spring by Christian Sinding, and then two pieces by Fred Hirsch, whom you probably know is one of the world's great jazz pianists, who actually is from Cincinnati and got his early training at the preparatory program at my school, the College Conservatory of Music, and in the last 10 years or so has come back to writing classical music. And so there's a nocturne for Left Hand Alone that he wrote for his early teacher in the homage of the Skirabin Nocturne for the Left Hand Alone, and then a little piece called Valentine.
Sounds like a wonderful program and a wonderful concept on the improv. So would the improv be sort of jazz-type improv or Bach-type improv or Pratt-type improv?
It would sort of be, I would say, Pratt-type. It's definitely not Bach-type. It's not jazz. But just kind of something that transitions from the mood of one piece to the next, and also harmonically as well.
It's kind of coincidental that just last week I talked with another pianist born in Pittsburgh, as you were, Ahmad Jamal.
And interesting.
So here we're talking to you, and I just saw that you're involved as an artistic director of a festival in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which isn't all that far from my own home. What's the Next Generation Festival about?
Well, that festival has sort of been on hiatus the last couple of years because the place where we did it, they underwent a hall renovation. I'm actually going back there in mid-October. They've just finally built the new hall, and I'm kicking it off with Zuhl and Jennifer Frauci. We're doing the Beethoven Triple Concerto. But that festival, you know, had a good 15-year run in its past life. About a 2-week chamber music festival with two different sets of programs, and we had generally the good fortune to be able to play those programs. So we'd have one program, we played in four different places, colleges in the area there. They were all free concerts. It was a pretty good little festival.
Some new music going on there?
Yeah, we did. I mean, originally the concept grew out of sort of the next generation of musicians, which I was at some point, and I'm not anymore. But yeah, we did, over the course of the years, do quite a few new pieces, or modern, some new, some modern. We had a couple commissions in there, I thought, interesting program from time to time.
You're involved in a CD that came out, I think, last year, of the music of Judith Lang Zamont called Eternal Evolution, along with the Harlem Quartet. There's this piece on here called Zones, her piano trio number 2, and then three movements, Cold, Warm, and Temperate. I'm going to play some of the last movement. Tell me about this a little bit and your exposure to her music.
Yeah, this was my first real exposure to her music. This was a definite, she wanted the Harlem Quartet to do, you know, they performed one of her quartets and to record this album, and she wanted to, Zones was actually recorded maybe 20 years before or something like that, and she wanted it re-recorded, and Harlem Quartet and I had wanted to do some work together, and Judith had heard me play in Arizona and really liked my playing and wanted me to play on this piece. So, but we kind of came together very quickly, you know, we probably came together and rehearsed it, gave a couple little performances here in Cincinnati, and I think we did maybe it was just here, and Judith was here and worked with us, and then we went to New York and recorded it. It's a really interesting piece. She calls it zones because they're climate zones, and some of them are what you would expect, and some of them are not, some of the ideas about what is the characteristic of the temperature, for instance. But really great writing, really wonderful and kind of dynamic and very spirited music.
Well, this last movement certainly begins in a very spirited way. It's the Temperate Movement from the Piano Trio No. 2 of Judith Lang Zamont. It's pianist Awadajan Pratt with cellist Paul, how does he say his name, Wianco?
Yeah.
Something
yeah,
like that. And Ilmar Gavilan on the violin. And here it is on Live and Local. Thank you. That's the final movement, some of it from Zones, the second piano trio of Judith Lang, Zaymont, two members of the Harlem Quartet, and pianist Awadajan Pratt, who's going to be giving a benefit concert for the Pratt Music Foundation Saturday night at 7:30 at Westbrook Auditorium in Presser Hall at Illinois Wesleyan University of Bloomington. And before we let you go, I wonder if you could just say a few words about the Pratt Music Foundation.
The foundation was started in 96 in memory of my father's passing, who my father was a great lover of classical music, though he wasn't a musician by profession. And he played the organ when he was younger and you know, had it on throughout our home as we were growing up. The foundation provides scholarships for students who are interested in music, who show a definite interest and passion for it, but who can't afford to have lessons. So the lessons are set up through the preparatory department at Illinois Wesleyan University. And for the last 10 years or so, we've been funding we built up through the years the number of students, and we're at around 20 to 25 students a year get lessons. It's in piano and strings through this program. So we're really, really happy with it, and I've had several generations of kids come through now, not generations, but kids coming through high school, going on to college and so forth. And what's great about it is it's not designed to look for the next prodigies necessarily or at all, really, but to give kids the opportunity who love it to develop the possibility of having a lifelong relationship with music in whatever way that it happens for them.
And folks can get information on the Pratt Music Foundation, all about it, on their website. And if you want tickets to the concert, they have a hotline number. It's area 309-827-5534. Awadajan Pratt performing in concert Saturday night at 7:30. Thank you very much for joining us here on Live and Local.
Thank you for having me, and until next time.
And we're going to go out with some music from Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition. This is The Hut on Fowl's Legs. This recording from called Transformations with Awadajan Pratt on Live and Local.